We're going to be in Psalm 18 this evening. I want to thank you for your care and concern for us. I think we've made an assumption tonight, and let me clarify. I'm David Peach. The pastor's not here tonight. Somebody came into church last Wednesday and walked up to me and said, "Well, last time we were here, we didn't get to hear you speak." Well, you're not going to hear me tonight either, because I'm not the pastor. But they just assumed I was the pastor for some reason. I'm not the pastor. I don't think we have any visitors tonight. Should have worn my hat so I could see. Thank you for being here tonight. And I want to say thanks for your care and concern over my surgery that I had in Peru. The surgery, the whole gallbladder thing, seemed to overshadow the actual purpose of the trip. I went there for a deaf camp. It's summertime down there, and it's very summer down there. Went down there for a deaf camp. We had 95 campers at camp. Camp went very well. Spoke six times during camp, then spoke. That was a deaf camp. Then I spoke to a hearing church the night before camp. And in total, I was scheduled to speak 11 times. Because of the surgery, I only got to speak 9 times. So it mostly went well. Certainly the preaching time before everything went wonky. And then I don't think I mentioned this to too many people. We also had an earthquake while I was laying there in the hospital bed on the 7th floor. The hospital has one working elevator, and I was on the 7th floor. It was a good hospital, just needed some maintenance there. So I'm laying there in my bed, and the whole building's going back and forth, and it was a 5.6 on the Richter scale earthquake, so it was quite exciting. Nurse came in and said, "Stay calm, we're not evacuating yet." Okay, well, I'm just laying here, just doing my thing, just swinging back and forth. So that was exciting. I've experienced earthquakes before, and I think, with the exception of one or two, they've all been in Peru. This was my 5th trip to Peru. I've spent a total of probably close to 6 months in Peru and in all of my trips, and I've felt a few earthquakes while I've been there. So it was. It was exciting. All right. So tonight, Psalm 18, we're going to look particularly at one verse, but we're actually going to kind of step through the whole psalm. This is intended tonight to be an encouragement to you. An encouragement for whatever it is you're going through at this time. If you look at the heading of Psalm 18, this is not in all Bibles, but says in my Bible, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said," and then he gets into the psalm. So this was written towards the end of David's life. It says after he had been delivered from all his enemies. This also appears, this psalm, or these words appear in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Samuel's got 24 chapters, so it is right there at the end of David's life that he wrote this. God had delivered him from his enemies, delivered him from Saul, delivered him from the Philistines, delivered him from Absalom, the uprising. And so this is, we know King David. He fought a lot of wars. He had people that didn't like him. Of course, there were a lot of people that loved him. So David wrote this towards the end of his life. I think it can be an encouragement to us tonight. So let's read the first 3 verses. It says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. And this, we'll look through this psalm, but this is the fourth longest psalm in the book. So we're not going to read every verse, but we're going to read a good portion of it. And we're going to look at particularly those words in verses 1 and 2, where David says, the Lord is my whatever. And so let's start there in verse 1. And this is what we would call a word study. Y'all are getting a small snippet of what my wife has to go through all the time. I'll read a word and I'll look it up and try to find its etymology and tell her all about it. So that's what y'all get to see tonight. Verse 1, David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. That word strength there is not the same word that's in verse 2. That word strength is to be made strong. So he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, the one who makes me strong. And that's like physically strong. And interestingly, that's the only time that word is used in the Bible. That specific Greek word is used in the Bible. This type of study and looking up words and stuff is available to you. It's not that you have to have a lot of fancy books like the pastor has. Now, there are some good books that are better than others. But these are things that you can look up online. I have an app on my phone that gives me these words and the definitions. But you can find these in various places. For the most part, many of us will use the Strong's Concordance, Strong's Dictionary. Thayer has a dictionary, Thayer, T-H-A-Y-E-R. Thayer's dictionary is really good. But let's look through these words. So my strength in verse 1 is to be made strong or to become strong. And then in verse 2 he says, the Lord is my rock. This word Lord, same word in verse 1. This word Lord is the word Jehovah. The very common word for Jehovah. This is the existing one. The self-existing one. God is self-existent. He doesn't need us, but we need him. And so he goes to this God and says, you are my rock. My rock. That word rock there, it's interesting. Several of these words in here, actually, it's the word rock, but they're different Hebrew words. That word rock in that case is like a high cliff that you would stand on and be separated from your enemy. That the enemy are coming up to you, and it's not like a mountain that they can just climb up the mountain. This is a cliff that you are separated from what's below you. And David says, the Lord is my rock. He's my cliff that I can stand on. It's a stronghold. It would be similar to, are you familiar with Masada? That's the mountain that the Jews went to after Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem. The Jews escaped up into this mountain, and the Romans, this was in 70 AD, the Romans came up and tried to get to them and weren't able to because they were up on this, I don't remember the whole story there, but they had this passageway to get in, and the Romans didn't know about it, so they were able to get up there. And that's the idea of this word, is that you're separated from the enemy. And then he says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress. This word fortress is kind of an odd word. It would be similar to what we would call today a siege tower. That's in the old movies, you have this big wooden tower that the archers climb up into, and then they push it up to the castle and they're able to shoot over the wall. That's the idea of this word, is that it's a siege tower. And so getting you up close to the enemy without having to go through the big wall. Deliverer, my deliverer. This is someone that helps you escape. And we're going to see later in the psalm what it was that God did to help David escape, to be delivered. My God, this is the word El. This is the general word that we have for God. It means strength is the idea of that word, that God is strength. And then he says, my God, my strength. The word strength there is another word for rock. It's another one of those words that means rock. It would be like a giant boulder is the idea of the word. So God is my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. This word strength, in whom I will trust, so that rock that I will trust in. And that's where we're going to actually spend the end of our time tonight. Well, I had a pastor when I was growing up. He'd say, I have a one-point message tonight. And you always knew that was going to be like a hour and a half long sermon. But that's really what I've got. I got a one-point message. So we're working to that point. But the point is, right here where it says, my strength in whom I will trust. So we will come back to that. My buckler, that word buckler is not what you wear on your belt. It's a small shield. So God is a shield, a protection. And then he says, the horn of my salvation. Now that's that phrase there, the specific words. The word horn means horn, like on a ram or a cow. It's also the word that would be used for a musical instrument, horn. So that's just a general word, horn. The horn of my salvation. Now, this could be read in a couple of ways. It could be that like a ram would fight. You know, he's got his horns and he's fighting another ram. It could be that the horn, the strength of that ram is wrapped up in the horn. The horn of my salvation. It could also be that call to military action, using the shofar, the ram's horn, to blow and call the military. So it could be read in both of those ways. What David actually meant, I don't know. But the horn of my salvation and my high tower. This would be a stronghold, a high place, a cliff. It's very similar to that first word, the Lord is my rock. It also just means rock. So we have a few words in there that are the rock. The song that we sang, a shelter in the time of storm, the Lord's our rock, in him we hide. That's why I asked to have that sung tonight. The Lord is a rock. He is unmovable. Unlike the hospital that I was in Peru when the earthquake came, unlike the hospital, God is unmovable, and we can stand on him and rest in him and trust that he has control. So that's the words there that we see in those two verses. But let's just take a quick run through the rest of the chapter and see what it is that the Lord has done. This was again written shortly before David's death, and we see it in Psalm or 2 Samuel 22. David cries to the Lord here. He goes to the Lord, and the Lord delivers. The description is that God comes down, this is interesting, like a dragon. Now, the word dragon is not ever used, but just listen to the words that we see in here. We'll read verses. Well, let's we got to read verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So David wrote this part, this first part. He says, this is who God is. Now let me tell you what he has done in my life. So let's look at verses 6 through 15. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. So David cries to the Lord. Then the earth shook and trembled, The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. God was angry at what was going on. Remember the very first part says this is after David had been saved from all his enemies. I think most of us would know at least some of David's life. He had people trying to kill him much of the time. My problems is my body's trying to kill me. I'm not really having to deal with outsiders trying to kill me. But that's what David was experiencing here. David was experiencing something that most of us have never had to deal with in our lives. And yet David went to the Lord and said, "Lord, I need help." We can do the same thing. We can go to God and say, "God, I need help." And what God did for David here, maybe God doesn't show up in your living room in this very picturesque way, but God is there. And God is that rock that we can rest on. We can take refuge in. So he says, "The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth." Verse 8. "There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured." "Coals were kindled by it." So coals just sitting there, God breathed on it, boosh, burst into it. Sounds like a dragon to me. I think this is just an interesting description. Now, was this a visual, physical thing that David saw? I don't think so. I think this is just poetic language here. Verse 9. "He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet, and rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire." Verse 14. "Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them." So this is God defending David against the enemy that's there. God sent out his arrows, and then he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. That word discomfited is an interesting word. I wasn't planning on making a comment about it, but as I was studying it just one last time, that word discomfited, it means that it's to make a noise. What was the phrase? To raise up a noise and just be scary is the idea. God came in and went, "Bah!" And that's the idea of discomfort. It also means to smash with your foot. So God comes in, "Bah, rah, rah," like a madman is what I'm seeing here. Now, God's not a madman. God's not crazy. But if this God that's protecting David comes down and is throwing lightning bolts at you, looks like a dragon, making so much noise that it scares you, I think I'd run away too. So verse 14, "Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundation of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils." So that's the description of what God did for David. That's the same God that we have, that we can say, "You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my high tower. You are the one that I can go to and trust in." That's the God that we have. Now, I think I would be scared if I saw God in that way. But David says, this is what God did for him. And then he says, verse 15, this is now not the description of God, it's more the description of what God did. Verse 16, He sent from above. He took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. David says that I had all of these enemies around me, surrounding me, pressing in on me, but God came in, scattered them, and then took me out of that and put me in a large place. I looked up the word large place. Well, that's what it means. It just means a big open place. And instead of having all of these enemies overwhelming him and causing worry, distress, anxiety, instead of all of that, God took David and said, I'm going to put you here away from everything else that's going on, and I'm here for you. I am the rock that you can rest in. And that's our God. That's the God that we have, that we can trust in, that whatever is going on in life, wherever we feel overwhelmed, we can trust in this same God that David had. And then David, he says his strength is from God. Let's look down, jump down to verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? That word rock there is the same word where it says, the Lord is my strength, in him I will trust, in verse 2. He says, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Again, the idea of being up and away and separated from the enemy. Verse 37. I have pursued mine enemies and overthrown them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Verse 40. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them. They cried even unto the Lord. It doesn't say that, but that's the idea. They cried even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. What is the problem that is bothering you today? What is it that makes you feel overwhelmed and unable to take the next step? You have that same God. We can go to him and say, God, help. Now, it requires that we actually trust in his help. God is there. God wants to save. In this case, it was a physical salvation from the enemies. But the problems I have, while I think they're big, in comparison to what David had to deal with, it's pretty minor. Joseph in the Bible, his brothers tried to kill him. We're not going to kill him. We'll just sell him and make some money off of him. I've got two brothers. And we may have fought and squabbled some, but I never felt like they were going to kill me, not intentionally. There have been times that it was like, ooh, that could have gone really wrong. So we did some stupid stuff, but they weren't intentionally trying to kill me. My brothers wouldn't have tried to sell me into slavery, because probably they couldn't have made much money out of me. But Joseph was able to go to God and just rest in him. And that's what David says. Verse 46, a very, very familiar verse. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. And that word rock there, again, like in verse 31, it's the same word as strength in verse 2. So let's go back to verse 2 and take a quick... Now we're back. Now we're down to the one point, the point of the message. Verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. That word strength, right in the middle of the verse, my strength, that's like a giant rock, a boulder. And then that word to trust is to place yourself inside of, to put yourself in the protection of something else. In this case, my strength, that rock, that God that I can trust in. The idea of it is that it's kind of like a cave that you would go into and be protected from the enemy. What are you trusting in? What is it that is your strength that you put your trust in? Well, we're in church. Well, it's God, of course. Okay, God, of course. That's the right answer. But is it really where your trust is? Or is it the bank account? The years of savings and the money that... And there's nothing wrong with having savings and money and investments. There's nothing wrong with that. But that shouldn't be where our trust is. That shouldn't be where we rest and run to whenever we have these overwhelming problems that we don't know how to solve, that we don't know how to navigate. So is your trust, is your strength in the bank, the money? Well, no, because I ain't got none. Well, that, and many times that reveals that we are trusting in the money. When we're so focused on the fact that I don't have this or I don't have enough of that, well, my trust is not in the bank account. This is something we deal with missionaries. Missionaries, as missionaries, we raise our support in churches, and sometimes young missionaries get so focused on the money that they forget that is God is the one that provides that. And we can say, oh yes, I trust in God, but I sure hope this church doesn't drop me. And there are appropriate concerns that you should have about money. Don't be flippant and say, well, money doesn't matter, I just give it all away. We need to be wise with those things. But that shouldn't be where our trust is. Many times, we as missionaries, and I'm not just pointing at the young guys, I'm talking about us old guys too. We quickly run to the church that gave a big offering last time I had a problem. Or we had a church that used to support us that it was a nice problem to have. I am not at all complaining about this. But this church... anytime I wrote in my prayer letter, we need, $2,400 for some camp stuff that we're doing. We did a lot of camps in Mexico. If I wrote in my letter that we were looking to raise some extra money, I'd get a call the next day from this church, and they'd say, "Hey, has anybody said they'd take care of that? If not, we'll take care of it." Nobody's had a chance to say they'd take care of it. They were always right there, and it was a wonderful blessing that this church was invested in us, and we were grateful for that. But you know, it's easy as a missionary to begin to depend on that, and we as missionaries, we need to learn to look to the Lord as our strength, not the churches that are supporting us. And we are grateful for the churches that do support and give special offerings and stuff. But it's the Lord that's our strength. Okay, so I've picked on my field. Now, think about yourself. Where is your strength when the air conditioner goes out and you have a $6,000 air conditioning unit that you have to replace? What is it you immediately think to? Are you thinking, okay, the Lord's going to take care of this? Or are you thinking, where can I work extra hours to make this work out? And again, it may be that the Lord provides through overtime. That's great. That's wonderful. But our thought should be, the Lord's my rock. The Lord's my strength. I am going to hide myself in Him. I will trust in Him. Work. You know, thank the Lord that I have a job. That could change tomorrow. Not for me. It's kind of hard to get fired as a missionary. But you're thinking, you know, I've got this job. I've got this provision. And we sometimes put our hope and trust in the job that we have. And most of us are old enough to know that that can change overnight. I got two friends that their company just decided to close last week. They're working until the end of this month, and then they're done. And it was just out of the blue. That can change for us, that whatever it is we're doing for work could change. Now, it's good to work, but putting our hope and trust in that thing, that job, is not where our hope and trust should be. It should be in the Lord, our rock. What about your health? I am thankful for good health. This last experience in Peru, it's the first time I spent an overnight stay in the hospital. I'm thankful that I've never really had any health problems. That changed pratty quick. And gratefully, I don't have any problems from that. But is your hope and trust in your health and the abilities that you have, or is it in the Lord? Well, I'm thankful for good insurance. Well, okay, is there such a thing as good insurance? So, maybe in this case, it was you're thankful for it, but in general, well, we shouldn't get political. Insurance. That I'm not really a political kind of person. I don't talk about politics. I might complain here and there about insurance. But is your hope and trust in your insurance? I have insurance. It doesn't pay nothing when you're in Peru. Yeah, those things can change at any time. So my hope and trust is not in my insurance, my bank account, my job, whatever those things are. That's not where my hope and trust should be. I would like to say my hope and trust is always in the rock, my strength, the Lord. But I think it is something that we need to check regularly. In what area do you feel overwhelmed in right now? Where is your concern and your thoughts 20 hours out of a 24-hour day? Then take that to the Lord. Philippians 4:6, very, very well-known verse. Be careful for nothing. That word careful is to be full of care. Be full of care for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we can do that. He is our rock. He is the one that we can take our concerns and cares and requests to. When we have the death of a spouse, which I've not experienced, but many of you have, and just trusting, saying, well, God is my rock. God is the one that I'm going to hide in through this. Doesn't make things magically disappear. The grief, the struggles, it doesn't make it automatically better. But it's far better to put that trust and rest in the Lord during that time of grief than to try to figure it out on your own. We have a book that God has given to us to help us navigate various situations in life. And again, I've not experienced the death of a spouse, but I've experienced the loss of a parent. I've not experienced the death of a sibling. But I do know that I have a God and a rock that I can go to for strength. Illness. I didn't enjoy, while I love Peru, and I've been there many times, I did not enjoy laying in a hospital bed in Peru. When we have illness, we don't have to fall apart. We can just rest in the Lord. I feel like a lot of people were worried for me in Peru. I wasn't worried. I don't think my mama was worried. My wife wasn't worried. She's got an insurance policy. No. I feel like when I came back to church that first Sunday after I'd come back, and I wasn't feeling well the first week, and that first Sunday I came back, you won't believe how many stories I've heard from you guys. Oh, well, my dad had gallbladder surgery, and 3 days later he was dead. I heard a lot of those kinds of stories. It's like, is that supposed to be encouraging? I wasn't worried. I told the doctor this. I saw a doctor here in Morristown. I told the doctor, I said, I wasn't worried about anything, about this whole process, until I went to church and listened to y'all's stories. Now, I do realize that there are serious health concerns that we need to be wise and navigate. But we don't have to be despondent about. We don't have to worry. Be careful for nothing. That word careful, again, full of care, it also can be translated anxious. Don't be anxious for things. There are things that are completely outside of our control. Then it's out of your control. By worrying or being anxious about it, it doesn't change it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Take it to God and say, God, this is the thing that's bothering me. This is the enemy that's here that I need you to come down like a dragon and go, and scare it away. And take that to God. That's who God is. Psalm 18, that's who God is. And he came and delivered David. Maybe you have an interpersonal relationship conflict. That means you fight with somebody at work or school or a sibling. And you don't know how you're going to get out of that. You can take that to God. You can ask him to help you with the anger, the bitterness. You know, often we want to blame the other person for whatever it is that's going on. But the reason it bothers us and makes us feel overwhelmed is very often not the other person. It's because of the way we're handling things. And we can take that to God and say, God, I'm just handing it over to you. Psalm 42:11, David says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, I looked up some of these words the other day. Why art thou cast down? That's to be worn out. It also means to lay down and just cry. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? That's to complain and murmur and to be about something. I don't know the word for that. But why are you disquieted within me? Why are you struggling with this? Hope thou in God. Now, I didn't look up that word hope there, but often, very often in the Old Testament, the word hope is the same word as wait. Wait. It's not a hope of, oh, I hope God will do this. It's a hope of, okay, I'm going to sit down and wait for him to take care of it. It's that expectation of knowing, that certain expectation, that God will take care of this. Hope in God. He's got this under control. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. We can trust God in this. We can test God in this too. We can say, okay, God, I'm going to hand this over to you and watch you do your work. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That taste and see, that the whole idea of it is just test him. Try him. Give him a try. Have you ever had something, you know, grandma says, oh, just taste it. Maybe you'll like it. And you taste it. Well, you don't always like it. But this says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He does want to be your dragon. He wants to be the one that comes down. And it doesn't say that God came down and kicked out all of David's enemies just because God decided to. David said, God, help. And God came. We can go to God and say, God, help. Give me this strength. While I said at the beginning that I intend this to be an encouraging message, it might also be a convicting message for us. And whatever that area is, wherever it is you're struggling, just take it to God and rest in him. That word hope is to wait on the Lord. It's also the idea of just resting. I think of it, I have a napping spot over in my office. It's a hammock. Oh, it is so glorious. When we lived in Mexico, that's what we slept in. We slept in hammocks. We didn't have a bed. And I think of that word hope like laying down in my hammock. And it just kind of wraps around me. Best sleep of my life. And that is resting in the Lord. And we can do that. We can say, God, here's my problem. Here's what I'm dealing with. And I am going to sit down and let you deal with it. Let you take care of it. Let you be that dragon that comes down and makes a ruckus. And I can rest in you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. And here's a picture of who you are, who you were for David, but that you can be for us. And God, I think it's so easy to look at passages like this and say, well, that was nice back then, but here's my problem. And God, I've had problems, but I've never had problems where I have had whole armies, two armies at the same time, multiple armies, trying to chase me down and kill me. And yet David rested in you. He hoped in you. He hid himself in you, that rock, that strength. And God, help me to see that I too can trust you. I can place myself inside the rock that is willing to protect and shield and help me through whatever problem there is that I'm experiencing. God, I pray that that would be true for my friends here tonight, that they would rest in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.